Merit is something that purifies the mind and makes it pure. But for merit to be able to truly purify the mind, it must also be connected with wisdom. If merit is still filled with greed, our desire to gain something more, it can still purify the mind as well. But as long as desire remains, that will be a part that prevents the mind from being fully purified. So for us to purify the mind completely, we must purify whatever things cause problems for the mind, like stinginess, excessively cherishing wealth we have acquired to the point that we cannot give anything to anyone. A person with such mind is one who refuses to make merit, refuses to give offerings at all. Though if one gives offerings, one becomes loved by people. But if one gives nothing at all, then no one loves them. Like there was a wealthy man who was extremely stingy, never giving offerings, and burying all his wealth in various places. After he died, where would the karmic result of his stinginess lead him to? It led him to be born in the womb of a beggar. The pregnant woman, wherever she went to beg, no one would give her anything. This was because of the karmic result of her child having never given to others. It was very strong. After the child was born, and still very young, when he followed his mother to beg, no one gave them anything. Eventually, the leader of the beggars had to expel this woman from the group, because ever since she became pregnant with this child, she had caused great hardship to the beggar community. This shows that the leader of the beggars also had wisdom. As for the little child, he could not get anything even when begging with his mother. When he grew older, the mother told him to go beg on his own, saying, "You cannot live with me anymore. Staying together, we will starve to death." The little child wandered aimlessly here and there, and eventually arrived at his own home from the past life. When he tried to enter the house, the servants drove him away. The Buddha felt compassion, so he reflected on the matter and spoke about it with Venerable Ananda. Venerable Ananda then went to inform the owner of the house, saying, "This child here, in his past life, he was your father." Even with Venerable Ananda himself saying this, the house owner was still hesitant. He couldn't believe that his father, who had been a wealthy man, had been reborn as a beggar. So they tried to verify this. And the child went and pointed out all the places where the wealth had been hidden. When they dug them up, they truly found the treasure. Only then did he believe that this person had indeed been his father in the past and had been reborn. So he took good care of his father from the past life. Had they not encountered the Buddha, what would have happened? He would likely have suffered for many lifetimes, because he had never practiced giving. Therefore, generosity, giving, is what overcomes the defilement of stinginess. But sometimes there are wealthy people who also possess great spiritual potential. Even though they may be extremely stingy, their spiritual merit may reach the level of a Sotapanna, stream enterer. Like one wealthy man who wanted to eat fried sweets, so he fried the sweets on the 7th floor of his mansion. This entered the Buddha's divine insight, so the Buddha sent Venerable Mahamoggallana to go and teach him. Venerable Mahamoggallana used his supernatural powers to instruct the wealthy man so that he would gain faith. The man was then persuaded and developed faith to pay homage to the Buddha, bringing the fried sweets as an offering to the Buddha along with 500 monks. After listening to the teaching of the perfectly self-awakened Buddha, he attained the level of a stream enterer. It was fortunate that his past spiritual merit supported him, otherwise he would have faced difficulties in future lives. Therefore, generosity, giving, is what overcomes the stinginess in the heart. All of us regularly make merit by offering alms. We feel fulfilled and delighted. Our minds become bright and pure. And we also share this merit with our close relatives and friends, and those that have passed away, and including those that we have harmed in the past, which everyone has. We then spread and share this merit, which is our own inner happiness, with them. When they receive it, they feel fulfilled and rejoice in it. Their joy increases their merit as well. Their complexion and radiance can even become brighter. This is a matter of merit. As for kusala, it refers to what brings about skillfulness, making the mind skillful, making the mind safe from all enemies. It strengthens the mind, making it firm and strong, so the mind will have no faults or defilements, to not deteriorate, and to remain clean, pure, and serene. This is the matter of kusala, skillfulness. One has wisdom, knowing causes and results, knowing good and bad, knowing merit and demerit. The mind becomes bright and radiant, not dark, not dull. This Pali word kusala, it means intelligence, skillfulness. What is its results? Its results is happiness of the heart, a feeling of lightness and ease. After doing it, the heart becomes refreshed. Like for us, when we undertake the precepts, sit in meditation, we chant with mindfulness, and when doing acts of giving, we have mindfulness in doing it and guiding us. Then this is both merit and kusala. The mind is not unsettled. Sometimes, offering alms here, the mind thinks over there, then the merit becomes less. When offering alms, be fully intent on offering alms. Have proper, graceful mannerisms. Keep mindfulness with the act of giving alms. Incline the body and the mind respectfully. Then the merit increases and becomes kusala as well. Therefore, kusala becomes the tool that helps cut off defilements. What are the roots of defilements that we call unskillful, unwholesome? The three unwholesome roots are greed, anger, delusion. Practicing kusala cuts off greed, anger, and delusion. These very things are unwholesome and cause the mind to wither and decline in various ways. So let the defilements end, cut them off. Therefore, it can be concluded that merit is what makes our hearts uplifted, satisfied, and pleased. Kusala, on the other hand, makes our hearts more intelligent, more skillful. Thus, giving, keeping precepts, all of these are things that uplift the heart. In being born in this present life, our hearts have already changed. And this wholesome result will continue to follow us into future lives as we wander through samsara, the cycle of birth and death. And we practice merit and kusala together. Kusala is like something that eliminates what obstructs our minds, what binds and entangles our minds, holding them tightly. It helps release those bonds little by little. When eliminated more and more, it can remove the sense of self as well. In the end, one can abandon self and ego through kusala, through generosity, through morality, through meditation. Therefore, practicing both merit and kusala, externally and internally, is essential. It will help us be freed from the cycle of birth and death without difficulty. Keeping precepts, in particular, is not easy. Among 1,000 people who give generously, only 1 or 2 may truly keep precepts. It is rare. But those who can maintain precepts have surely cultivated merit and spiritual qualities from past lives. Then, keeping the 5 precepts isn't difficult. Even keeping the 8 precepts at times can be done comfortably. Some aim to practice more deeply. Some meditate seriously, sitting for several hours a day. This shows that we have trained and accumulated generosity, morality, and meditation in past lives, which is why we are able to continue practicing them in this life. The great result of merit and kusala is that it enables us to abandon the sense of self, which is called seeing with wisdom that all conditioned phenomena are impermanent, suffering, and not self. This is called seeing Nibbana, the wisdom that leads towards Nibbana. This is our practice within the Noble Eightfold Path, Sila, Morality, Samadhi, Concentration, and Panya, wisdom. We do no harm to anyone. We do not wish to oppress anyone. We seek to abandon our own sense of self so that we will not wander and drift along this cycle of birth and death, which is suffering. Having been born with this body, with these aggregates, they are the nest of diseases. They're always a mass of suffering. Sickness and pain arise in this body. It deteriorates. We rely on this decaying, crumbling house, and we try to repair it, but it is suffering all the same. Therefore, we must meditate so that this wisdom may arise. Sometimes practitioners say, "Oh, this year I've been sick. I haven't meditated at all." Venerable Ajahn Chah asked, "Then when will we meditate?" It's exactly when we are sick that we must meditate even more. We must know the truth that this is the body. It is suffering like this. It cannot be controlled like this. It is not self, not ours. This is why we must meditate even more, especially when the body deteriorates and comes to an end. We will see that people we know, even the young, have passed away. These conditioned things are impermanent. They cannot be controlled at all. So we must try to cultivate wisdom. So this kusala is entirely of the nature of wisdom, purely merit, which will lead our minds out of the mass of suffering, out of the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, we are instructed to be determined to perform both merit and kusala. And merit has many forms. The types of merit called punya kriya vatu, consisting of dana, giving and generosity, sila, observing morality, bhavana, calming the mind, and refining our hearts to become even purer, such as doing group pujas, chanting, sitting in meditation, and practicing insight meditation. This is called bhavana. Bhavana means improving and elevating the mind through wisdom. Therefore, we should cultivate and accumulate both merit and kusala as much as possible, developing them abundantly. When our mind is light, when our heart is happy through goodness, we radiate loving kindness to those who have passed away, to close relatives and friends, to karmic debtors and to the deities who protect us, so that they may receive this happiness. When we see people making merit, giving and keeping precepts, we rejoice and say Sātu, and our heart becomes bright and joyful. This too is a form of meditation. Therefore, all these things that arise in our life are good opportunities. Our minds are minds of human beings. Coming from being born with the mind of an ordinary person who does not know anything at first, we have greed, we have anger, we have delusion. At times we are not greedy, not angry, not deluded. Until we see the harm of greed, anger and delusion, at how they disturb and trouble the mind. Seeing the harm of stinginess, we then give according to our ability, not excessively, but according to what we can afford, without causing ourselves difficulty. It shouldn't be that we want to make so much merit that we even borrow money from others to do so. It's not like that, because there is merit that does not require giving at all. Keeping precepts is also merit. Repeating butto, butto, butto in the mind, keeping the mind still, this is the highest kind of merit. Furthermore, when we see external forms, objects, belongings, or natural things, as suffering, impermanent, and not self, that becomes kusala and an excellent form of merit. Seeing arising and ceasing, even for a brief moment, the teacher said that it brings great results indeed. We will come to understand, seeing both material and mental phenomena arise and cease, with no self, no owner. The mind sees conventional reality and liberation. It sees that everything in this world is merely convention, and the mind experiences liberation. When this happens, what are we like? We are joyful, fulfilled, with rapture arising day and night. This is something practitioners may sometimes experience. Or, while sitting in meditation, one may feel content and fulfilled for many hours. This is when greed, anger, delusion move far away from the mind, or when they are partially destroyed. That is how it is. Let us continue training and cultivating like this always. Eventually we will see the truth that giving is truly good. A giver naturally receives love. Even if giving only small things, they are given with thoughtfulness, kindness, and compassion. So as practitioners, we train the mind, cultivate the mind, and let our hearts remain rooted in merit. But do unwholesome mind states try to arise? It does arise, in the form of thoughts, but we simply abandon it. They are natural. When unwholesome mind states arise, we strive to abandon them. When wholesome states arise, we strive to practice and maintain them. When unwholesome states arise, abandon them and refrain from acting on them. Don't let them arise again. Try to practice like this. This is called right effort. When there is effort, determination, and steadfast intention, then one day the mind will surely become calm. Be diligent in practicing meditation. But while meditating, let the mind be there as well. It's not walking meditation for 1 hour while the mind thinks of other things for the entire hour, or sitting for 1 hour and we are not really there. The mind is not present at all. No mindfulness, only thoughts about other subjects. Sitting meditation like this will never bring calm. You must sit with the breath, remain with butto a lot, and firmly determine in your heart that this meditation word, object, is what will bring my mind to peace. Then continue repeating the meditation word all day and all night. When we recite the meditation repetition a lot, then the mind will become still and peaceful. Samadhi, concentration, will appear. Wisdom will then arise and know clearly. We will then be freed from suffering little by little until we truly see the Dhamma and are able to close the door to the lower realms. May everyone practice with sincerity. May you grow in blessings.